I have found the Word of God to be like a gold mine.
Amen.
That a man can dig in and find some nuggets.
Yes.
And keep digging and make a career of that and never exhaust that gold mine. Camp meetings are a time of refreshing. It's encouraging to see the people that we've known all our lives, see them coming in, knowing there's my brother, my fellow soldier. That's a time of refreshing. It's a time that the Lord comes and visits. Oh, what a privilege. I appreciate that privilege. I appreciate being here. I'm glad we have freedom in this country to do that.
Yes.
Not everyone has that freedom. We need the Lord's blessing again this afternoon, and I'd like to begin reading in John chapter 11. John 11 and 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already.
Yeah.
Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, didn't you get the word? We sent word while he was sick. And if you would have just been here, he wouldn't have died. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now Jesus, in verse 30, was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews which were with her in the house comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, and followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Can you imagine these poor sisters in anguish?
Yeah.
It seems so avoidable. Lord, all it would have taken was for you to be here, and my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died? Could not this man? How many times in life Have you faced a disappointment and felt a similar question? Couldn't the Lord have prevented that?
Yes.
Maybe it was a financial loss, a loss of a job. Maybe you lost a friend. Maybe a loved one died. We all have to face these things in life. And perhaps the question comes up in your mind, could not this man have prevented this problem? Why did it have to be that way, Lord? Why, there was a time that you didn't even have to go to where the sick one was. All you had to do was speak the word. Lord, didn't you get the word? You know, Martha was the careful type. She was the type that would worry and prepare. And maybe she questioned the messenger that came back. Didn't you tell the Lord? Did you tell him how sick he was? Did you convey a sense of urgency? What did he say? And then when she saw the Lord, Lord, if you would have just been here, I wouldn't be going through this. We all face these situations in life. And we may ask the question, could not this man, couldn't have he done something about this? This disappointment, this unexpected thing, could not this man have done something about it? We saw this man turn water to wine. We saw him feed the thousands. We saw him heal the blind, cause the lame to walk. Could not this man have spoken the word and kept my brother from dying? In verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Could not this man, the one who is life himself, have just spoken a word and kept my brother alive? Jesus said in verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Believest thou this? Martha, you saw your brother die. You thought I would do something about it. Do you still believe? Do you still believe in me? Even though you asked the question, could not this man have done something? When we face life's disappointments, do we still believe in the Lord? Do we still have a confidence that He's right? And somehow the things that are happening to us in life, God's hand is in it. Believest thou this? I'd like to look in John chapter 6. John 6 and 64. There are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Could not this man have prevented folks from turning back? Can you imagine the disciples saying, Peter, if you had not been so outspoken, maybe some of these folks wouldn't have turned back. John, if you wouldn't have spent so much time lying in the Master's bosom, if you would have been out doing more outreach, John, maybe we wouldn't have lost some of those folks. Mary, if you had not spent so much time sitting at Jesus' feet, if you would have helped Martha in the kitchen like she wanted you to, and somehow fed more people, then maybe we wouldn't have lost some of these folks. Jesus, they said what you said was a hard saying. Couldn't have you just toned it down a little bit? Couldn't have you watered the gospel down just a little bit? Could not this man have done those things? Could not this man have restrained people and compelled them to stay? Couldn't he have just taken their free will away? He chose not to do it, didn't he? Have you ever had the question come in your mind, could not this man, couldn't Jesus have somehow changed the will of people or the course of events so that we wouldn't have to face some of the things that we have to face? What about the wickedness that is in this world? Have you considered the crime? Have you noticed any change in crime, those of you that are middle-aged or older? From the time that you were young to present day, have you noticed any change? Does it ever trouble you? Do you ever wonder why? Why is our world falling apart? Why are young people doing flash mob crime? Why is it that a recent news story was about a man that was in a method like a cannibal eating another man's face while he was still alive? What is happening in our society? Why, Lord? Could not this man have stopped that? What is going on? I read a little bit of news sometimes and it eats on my mind. Can you imagine what it would be like to be the eternal God of heaven and to be omniscient and to know everything that is going on? Everything that's going on in the closets, everything that's happening at night, all around this world simultaneously. I couldn't handle it. All I have to do is hear about one abused child. It's too much. Could not this man have done something about all those things? Well, he could, couldn't he? What about all the stealing? It seems so senseless. People work hard for something. They'll steal air conditioning units that cost maybe thousands or tens of thousands of dollars to replace, and they'll get maybe a few $100s of scrap metal value for it. A tiny fraction of what it was worth. Doesn't matter how hard people had to work, how poor the people were that sacrificed to the chapel. That happened in Miami. It happened here. It doesn't matter to them. What about all this? Lord, couldn't it, you saw it was your property. Could not this man have kept his hand over his own air conditioning units and prevented it from happening? Have you ever asked yourself these questions? What about corrupt governments? I have become convinced in my observation of the news, world happenings, in my travels, I have become convinced that a lot of the problems in the world, deep poverty, crime, are largely due to corrupt governments. That people could be doing much better. That we don't need all these thousands of starving children in some of the nations of the world. When I observe that the leaders of those nations are living in splendor, absolute wealth, I come to the conclusion there's some corruption here. What about this? Could not this man have done something about this? He sees those things. What about all the social injustice? Life is not fair, is it? And I could spend my life campaigning to make things fair. Well, what about taxes? Well, I tell you, we have some opinion about taxes, don't we? We may not feel like they're fair. Why should I work so that somebody who's able to work can sit on the couch and watch TV and I have to pay to support that person? That doesn't seem fair, does it? So I could get all worked up about this and campaign and all that. Could not this man do something about that if he wanted to? Then why would I spend my life trying to rectify that situation? We can get ourselves in trouble asking this question, could not this man? Steve Jobs attended church services as a boy. He abandoned Christianity later in life in favor of Eastern religion. Throughout Steve's life, he sought peace and enlightenment. He spent time in a commune, trekked to India to seek the counsel of gurus, and was committed to Zen Buddhism. Why did Steve do that? How could a person possibly be introduced to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the best news this world has ever had, and descend to the depths of a pagan religion? How could he do it? How could he miss it that badly in life? Walter Isaac's new biography, Steve Jobs, gives the answer. When Steve was 13, he saw a magazine cover picturing starving children in Africa. Disturbed, Steve supposedly confronted his pastor, asking, "If I raise my finger, will God know which one I'm going to raise even before I do it?" The pastor answered, "Yes, God knows everything." Steve then pulled out the life cover and asked, "Well, does God know about this?" Speaking of the starving children. "And what's going to happen to those children?" "Steve, I know you don't understand, but yes, God knows about that." Steve announced that he didn't want to have anything to do with worshiping such a God, and he never went back to church. Cannot this man do something about this? The suffering of the world. Have you ever heard someone asking, if there is a God, then why do we have wars? Why is there all this problem? Why could not this man, is basically the question that they are asking. And I want to ask you this afternoon, shall we blame God for the suffering of this world? Sin brought suffering into this world. Sin turned Satan loose. I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4 and 8, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" Isn't it something how when someone does something wicked, the Lord tends to show up? Or the prophet of the Lord tends to show up? Well, the Lord showed up, and there was an accounting here. "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Could not this man have done something about righteous Abel? About his death in innocency, his death due to envy and anger and sin? Yes, he could have. He could have prevented that from happening. But sin has turned Satan loose in the world. In James 5 and 4, we read, "Behold, the hire of laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath." All of the abuse of mankind, those who are unjustly taking advantage of other people, the Lord is taking account of all of that. The cries are entering into his ears. The cries of the blood spilt on the ground, the Lord took note of that. One thing that disturbed me when we were in Honduras was the crime rate, the murder rate. I recently read that it has become murder capital of the world. And I noticed that murder after murder, did they ever find out who did it? No. They didn't find out. And oh, that would trouble me. Where's justice? Did you know that blood is crying to the Lord? And there is coming a day that the Lord is going to set all this straight. And sometimes we feel frustrated. That person was involved in a drug cartel and they were rich and they lived to be an old age maybe. And oh, where's justice? And what about all the people that they killed, that they left behind? What about all of that? Could not this man have done something about all of that? Yes, he could. But let me tell you, he will. There is something that is going to happen. Life simply is not fair. If we're waiting for life to be fair, for us to have victory, for us to live for the Lord, we're never going to do it, are we? We need to be careful that we do not get the attitude that the Occupy movement has. You know what their grievance is? These folks that have occupied Wall Street and various cities, their grievance is somebody else has money and I don't have enough. Why, take that money from that rich man and hand it over to me. We need to be careful about this sense of injustice, that it does not overwhelm us to where we get that type of an attitude in life. And consider, could not this man do something about it if he wanted? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If he wanted me to have more money, he can provide me more money. I don't need the attitude of the Occupy movement. The Scripture says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What more do we want? I'd like to read from Luke chapter 9. Luke 9 and 51, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. There was animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews. Very strong feelings. Verse 54, and when his disciples James and John saw this, when they saw the Lord was rejected from the village of the Samaritans, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Could not this man bring down fire from heaven and set this matter right? It was interesting to me that they referred to the incident of Elijah and the fire from heaven. Elijah was dealing with the king of Samaria. And here are the descendants, the Samaritans. And the king of Samaria was sick, so he sent messengers to the false god to inquire whether or not he would be well. But the man of God intercepted the messenger with a message from God. And the message was, is there not a God in Israel that you're going to inquire from this false god? And that made the king angry. So he sent an army of 50 with a captain. And they went up and, thou man of God, and Elijah says, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. And it consumed him. Happened 2 times. The 3rd time, the captain humbled himself, got down on his knees, and begged for his life. And the Lord told Elijah, don't be afraid, go on down. So they remembered that. These disciples knew that story. And here these Samaritans offended them again. So they remembered and they asked, Lord, shall we call down fire? They knew this man was capable of doing that. But the Lord told them in verse 55, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Could not this man destroy those wicked people? Yes, he could. But he chose not to do it. I think of the wicked cities of the United States, New Orleans and Mardi Gras. A scene of awful revelry and wickedness and licentiousness. Could not this man do something about that? Couldn't he bring down fire from heaven? And wouldn't we be better off if somehow we didn't have that element. We had a purging. We could ask ourselves that question, couldn't we? The city of San Francisco is notorious, the kind of spirit that lives there. Homosexuality is rampant in that city. Could not this man do like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes, he could. And where shall we stop? Paris? New York? We can just keep going and going and ask ourselves, could not this man do something about all of this wickedness in the world? But I thought of the response that the Lord gave Jonah. Jonah was upset that his prophecy that Nineveh would be destroyed did not come to pass after the people repented. And here's what God told Jonah at the very last scripture of the book of Jonah. Should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Could not this man have destroyed Nineveh? Yes, he could have. But he had compassion for their souls, and they repented. I'm thankful for this man having such great mercy. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and 47. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Could not this man have prevented? Lord, don't you see the mob coming? They've got staves, they've got swords. This is a serious situation, Lord. You know they've been after your life. Could not this man do something? Here, let me get my sword. And he took off his ear. Jesus could have. Couldn't it be? Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Peter, I want you to get vision of something far greater than what you're looking at. You see a mob out here, I want you to have a better vision. Thinkest thou that this man, that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Peter, open your eyes up. This man could. It's within my power. Put that little sword up, Peter. Here, let me take the ear and heal it. This man is capable. We don't need to take the sword and take matters into our own hands. Matthew chapter 27. In verse 38. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Could not this man save himself? Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved himself, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. This man cannot even save himself. I believe he could have. In Luke chapter 24. The two were on the road to Emmaus. Verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, speaking to Jesus, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him and condemned him to death, to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Could not this man? We thought he was going to deliver us from these oppressive Romans. Couldn't have he done that? And besides all this, it's 3 days since this has happened. Could not this man have delivered himself from death? And from the Romans? Do we ever have these questions rush in on us and wonder in life, couldn't the Lord have spared me from this? Verse 25, Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Oh, we need to get our eyes on something better than the disappointments that this life hands our way. If we're all focused on the things that people have done to us, these social injustices, the crime of this world, the corruption, the politics, if all of these things consume us, we need to get our eyes on something higher than that and see glory that is waiting for us. Amen. Jesus, this man, is like no other. You remember the time the soldiers were sent to arrest him? And they came back empty-handed. And they said, Why didn't you bring him? And they said, Never man spake like this man. This man, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, there's something special about this man. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Verse 16, And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do we recognize who this man is? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't need a sword to defend himself. He had command of the angels. Jesus said, All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And I want to ask you today, can this man help you with every need that you have in your life? He has all power. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the creator of the universe. So could not this man help us? We find that in John, Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by him. And without him, speaking of Christ, was not anything made that was made. If we believe that he is capable of speaking the stars into existence, this world, creating the laws of physics and chemistry, all of the marvels of life, if we are convinced of that, I want to ask you, could not this man help us in any need that any of us have? I believe that he can. But I believe the Lord has a reason for allowing some of the hardships to come our way. The song says, Sometimes the storms we go through are somehow a part of His will. But through the floods I have found that His love is deeper still. There is a reason that we have to suffer in this life. Jesus said, Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Can we see the glory of much fruit? Can this man prevent me from falling into the ground and dying, from having to suffer some things, from having to deny myself? We can make that choice to try to avoid those things. But if we will allow the Lord's will in our life, there is glory ahead. There is a reason that we have to suffer as Christians. You know what it does? It hardens us for the battle. I've been through some suffering that was beyond my imagination that I would have to experience. But I recognized there was a benefit that came from that. It helped harden me for the battle. It helped strengthen me for perhaps greater things to come. I am thankful that although this man could deliver us from some of those things, he helps us through them and helps us that we'll be stronger on the other side. I believe 1 Peter 5 and 10 was read this morning, that speaking of after ye have suffered a while, to strengthen you, and I believe it says to perfect you. I appreciate that. There is a reason for the things that come our way. Could not this man have prevented me from having to experience these things? Yes, he could have. But he wants to strengthen you. He wants to settle you. He wants you to be established. He can turn those things around, but he can hold you through them if you'll keep the right attitude and humble yourself before the Lord. I'd like to go back to John chapter 11. John 11 and 37, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Could not this man have spoken a word and my brother stayed alive? Yes, he could have. But Martha would not have had the opportunity to see the glory of God that she saw that day. Did you know that the scribes and Pharisees wanted to put Lazarus to death after he was resurrected? Why? Because of his resurrection from death to life, many of the people believed and they were trying to get rid of the evidence that supported Christianity. Could not this man have kept me from sorrowing? Jesus loved him. Lord, we know you love our brother. Lord, you see the suffering we're going through. You see we lost him, Lord. What happened? Didn't you get the word? Could not this man have helped us not have to face all this sorrow? Oh, the glory of God that they witnessed, because this man did allow that thing to happen and resurrected him back to life. Didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? There are things that come to us in life that if we will let that happen and go through it right, we will see the glory of God. But if we refuse, and if we get an attitude of this man should have delivered me from that, I should have never had to face that in life. Lord, this saying is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And turn back and walk with him no more. We will miss the glory of God that he has for us. Nominal Christianity today teaches you cannot live free from sin. They have a message of defeat. That's one of the things I love about the Church of God. We have a message of hope. We have a message of victory. We have something that is upbeat. The message is, yes, you can. You can live a victorious life. You can get victory over that habit, that addiction, all of those problems. You can have victory. You can overcome. And I want to tell you, young men, I sure appreciate seeing you here today. You can do it. I know the world is a tough place for a young man to live in these days. Sin is so readily accessible at your fingertips. I want to tell you, you can do it. Could not this man that spoke this world into existence give me victory over my own flesh? Yes, he can. Do not believe them when they tell you, you can't help it. You're going to fall into sin. Don't believe them. It's a lie. Yes, you can. Could not this man give me victory? Yes, he can. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able. He is able. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He spoke the worlds into existence. He calmed the sea. He changed the water into wine. He raised the dead. He saved souls that are sitting right here today. And I want to say, He is able. You may feel like I can't do it. I've failed too many times. It's my family. It's my, what I inherited. I'm just weak. It's not you. Now unto Him that is able. He is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above. I like that. Lord, I don't have to just barely hang on. I don't have to keep falling back into sin. He is able to deliver you from a life of backsliding, from a life of finding yourself, even though you have a tender heart toward the Lord, finding yourself, oh Lord, I failed again. I need to be saved again. I need to be baptized. He is able to deliver you from that kind of a life. In fact, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What did that leave out? Isn't that beautiful? Lord, it's this one thing. This one thing is holding me up. He is able to do exceedingly above everything. Anything that is holding us back, He is able. He has victory today. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and 37. I like this good news. I like a positive church message. I don't like messages of failure. We have to sin. We all do it more or less every day. And we hope when this life is over, we'll be delivered from sin. I like the thought that this man can do it. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded today? I am. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor communism, nor this world becoming worse and worse, becoming anarchy, passing laws that restrict our free speech, that will not let us meet and call ourselves Christian, passing laws that we have to bow to Mecca, passing laws that we have to turn our children over to become whatever for sin. I am persuaded that none of these things will separate us from the love of Christ. Things present, they're bad enough, aren't they? Nor things to come. I'm glad it took that in too. Because things could get worse. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Could not this man keep us, no matter how evil the world becomes? No matter how great my temptation, no matter what life brings my way, could not this man help me? The song says, He is able to deliver thee, O sinner. See the myriad worlds above. Doesn't that convince you? and the one on which we move, they were made by our eternal God of power. Jude, verse 24. Now unto him that is able, could not this man do it? Unto him that is able to keep you, not just old brother so-and-so, but he's able to keep you, young men, young ladies, middle age, everyone, he's able to keep you. We can live a victorious life. We can live like the testimony we heard this morning of how the sister made it on in peace. He's able to keep us all the way to the end. There have been times I worried I just couldn't make it. Lord, I failed you. I was up and down. I don't know if I can ever make it. Oh, praise God. He's able. He can do it. It wasn't me. It wasn't my strength. But he is able. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. It ought to give us courage. And to present you faultless. Oh Lord, it's just too hard. The teachings are too high. It's too strict. Too narrow of a way. He is able to keep you faultless. So that there is nothing between you and your Savior. So that you can live with a perfect heart before Him in this present world. And stand before Him faultless. Isn't it an encouraging thought? Before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I like this thought. That could not this man have prevented this from happening. But since we went through it anyway and were faithful, we got to see glory. He's able to keep us and present us. And in that day, in the presence of His glory, we will have exceeding joy. May God bless each one.